The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, I'm Terry Jo from Orlando. I just ran my first marathon, the New York City Marathon, and I listened to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 338 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from the WDW Today Podcast, and with me on the show today is
do you remember
the one, the only
how
Michelle
many episodes we've been doing?
Scribner-McLean. Hello, Michelle. How are you?
I'll get you cue cards for Christmas.
How are you? I think I'll need that. So how are you? How's the training going?
I'm doing okay. Did 11 and a half miles today, and feeling ready to go. How about yourself?
Did 10 today again, going into the simulation for what we're going to be doing in January. Just those people who are doing Goofy and Dopey, they're into their simulations, and pretty soon they'll be tapering down. So I'm sure that everybody who's listening out there is into the heavy-duty training right now.
Yeah.
Do we have a shout-out?
We do. Actually, Mike, it is to you and the whole crew on WDW Today. You and Mike Newell and Len Testa and Matt Hochberg, because you guys made a pretty big announcement this week, and that is, well, do you want to tell everybody?
Well, we are transitioning the podcast. We have done approximately 1,500 podcasts over the last 10 years, and probably another 200 to 300 live shows. And with so many things going on in our lives and so much stuff, we decided that this is a good time to transition the show. So it's not stopping, but we are transitioning, and there will be a new crew that will be coming in to continue the job that that we started. So we're excited about that. We hope the best for the new crew, and we've been getting a lot of really nice notes from a lot of people who have become our friends over the years, and we're moving on.
Yeah, you guys have amazing chemistry, and you've meant a lot to people who need their Walt Disney World fix. So now you have more time to do this podcast.
Yeah, they can't get rid of this Boston accent. It's going to be around for a while.
All right. So who do we have on the show today?
We have a returning special guest. We love her very much. She is the Run Disney official nutritionist. We know her very fondly as the Diet Diva. It's none other than, and you all know her, Tara Guidus. Hello, Tara.
Hello, hello.
Welcome back. We have many questions for you.
Oh, good. I always love that.
Yep. And we also want to, I'm sure our listeners would like to know, you recently suffered an injury, and I'm sure that they would love to have an update as to how well you're doing.
I tore my meniscus back at the end of August, but didn't know it was torn. You know, as we like to do, we just run through injury. And
yeah, so I'm a actually, scratch, right? Just go. Right. Keep going.
Well, I actually was kind of a good girl, and well, after I ran the Disneyland half marathon, knowing it was injured, but you know, whatever. But then went to physical therapy, but kind of skipped over going to the doctor. Just went straight to physical therapy, so I never really got a diagnosis. But I've never had anything surgical wrong with me, so I just thought, okay, it's something, you know, whatever. Anyway, long story short, it ended up being torn, which I didn't find out till October. So then I had surgery at the end of October, and you know, started running again end of November and blah, blah, blah. I think it was a little too soon. So I'm still rehabbing it and trying to get it back. So we'll see what happens.
Are you climbing the walls?
I mean, I'm doing other stuff, but I have to be careful with that other stuff too. You know, I mean, it's amazing what things hurt and what things don't. It's, you know, the human body never ceases to amaze me with what's connected to what. And, you know, what certain exercises I can do that really don't hurt and are helping to strengthen me and work me out. But then what things, like driving, hurts.
Wow.
Because it's that, you know, it's my right leg and it's pressing on that gas, and you're using your toe, which then is connected to that inside, because it's the medial meniscus. So it's that inside of the knee. Anyway, I won't bore you with my injury, but
you just need Run Disney to get you a driver. I think that's
there you go.
And she needs to. You need to find a really good nutritionist to help you to help you understand what kind of a diet would be good to help the healing.
And please correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't you? You and I were having a little email exchange. Didn't you tell me you're planning something a little bit more intense than
I am, and that's why I need to like nip this thing in the bud. So don't tell my children until after Christmas, but I married a South African guy.
They don't know that?
Oh, they do know that, but
I'm just kidding.
We know that I married a South African guy, but we've been talking about going to South Africa for a while, and so we are going to take all 4 children to South Africa over the Easter holiday. And it just so happens that there is the Two Oceans Ultra Marathon on that Easter Saturday. So we have signed up for it. And
you and your husband?
My husband and I have both signed up for it. He ran it twice back in the 90s.
Oh, my gosh.
And when he used to live there. So, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Wow. And not the kids.
The kids will not be running, no, but they will be there.
So an ultra is?
This is a 56K, which is 34 miles, which is by far the most I've done. I've only done full marathons, so is going to be a challenge.
Well, get that meniscus healed.
Yes,
Speedy Gonzalez.
We're not going to be going for time. We're just going to be going for finish. And if you look up, I just did Big Sur in April, and the scenery is very similar. If you look up Two Oceans Marathon on their website, it's gorgeous.
Oh,
so
wonderful.
I'm going to be more there for the experience than the speed, for sure.
That's so exciting. Well, we'll have to have you back on to talk about that.
Yeah,
Emmy's your husband, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Everybody finds out at Christmas.
Wonderful, wonderful accent. So you would love to talk to him.
So it's going to be a Christmas surprise that they're going to Africa?
Yes, so we're going to do a little scavenger hunt for them
cool.
And have them figure out that we're going to South Africa in March, and that's going to be part of their main Christmas present is that big trip, because when you have 6 people flying to South Africa, it's not cheap.
Oh, yeah, my gosh, true. I know, wow. I know. Wow, that's exciting.
Yeah.
All right, so are you ready? You strapped in?
I am.
You ready for some questions?
I am.
Do you want me to go first, Mike?
You go first, okay. Ladies first.
This is from Mark Bansick from Wisconsin, and he says, I have really struggled with my training during the humidity of summer, and I think a lot of my trouble is because I sweat very hard. On a 10-miler, I have lost as much as 2 pounds. I weigh 173 pounds. I'm interested in trying salt tablets, but I can't find out much information about them. I need a plan to start. How early should I take one before running, and when should I take a second one? I think this is a question we have not had before.
We have definitely not had that question before. I do believe in salt tabs for marathoners. It's not, obviously salt is not good for the average public, but when you're sweating a lot and you're, especially men who tend to, sweat more than women, although we can sweat our fair share as well, but during the summertime. So if you're a cramper, if you're, prone to cramps, if you're a heavy sweater, if you're a salty sweater, so you can see that line of, white on you after you finish a run, those are all signs that you may want to consider doing a salt tab. Now, you don't need it for, probably an 8 to 10 mile run. But when you're talking, a heavier run, I would say, or a longer run, I would say, yeah, definitely consider it. So what you want to do is make sure that you're having some salt, obviously, in your food. You don't have to unscrew the salt shaker and pour it on the day before, but, maybe salt your food a little bit the day before. And then morning of, you can take a couple of salt tabs in the morning. And then what I recommend is taking 1 to 2 salt tabs, put them in like a little Ziploc. Snack size Ziploc, because they obviously need to stay very dry on your run. But take the salt tabs in that little Ziploc, and then I would take it just like you do a gel, about every 2 to 3 miles. And I would start out with just 1 to 2 every 2 to 3 miles, and that should do it in terms of giving you the amount of salt that you need.
So does your advice change if the weather is warmer?
Yeah, well, that's the maximum I would recommend is mm-hmm. the 1 to 2 tabs every 2 to 3 miles. So if you're still a heavy sweater, but it's not quite as like dead of summer and high humidity, maybe, you know, every 4 or 5 miles or something like that. So extend it a little bit more if you're not quite really, really, really sweating. But here in Florida, man, it is insane how much you can sweat on a long run and even at 5 a.m. So yeah, I am a believer in those salt tabs and taking them. And I do recommend the tabs because you don't want to just, like, some people will just put a whole bunch of salt in their, you know, Gatorade or, you know, try to, like, but if you're drinking, like, you are going to get sick, like, just from, because you don't want to taste all that salt. I mean, it's a lot of salt, and you're not going to be motivated to drink if you just put it in your beverage or, you know, put it around your fuel belt. So that's why I do recommend taking the tab and actually, like, don't taste it because you will not want to take more.
And where would you get that? Like at a Walgreens or a running
store? I mean, running stores should have it. You know, Sports Authority type places should have it. And a GNC type place should have it.
Okay. And just one more question. I know you're the nutritionist for the Orlando Magic. Do those guys take salt tablets? I mean, do you recommend that they, because they're sweating and, you know, doing so much running?
Some of them do. Yeah, those guys, I mean, we're talking, those guys can lose 8, 9, 10, 11 pounds of sweat in a game.
No way. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. But when
that's
you start
gallon,
out.
That's a gallon of water, right?
Yeah, and they're not, I mean, they're not, I mean, I that's not including what they're drinking. Yeah. You know, of course, they're not usually down that much, but if I subtract out what they're drinking and I weigh them before and after, yeah, they can definitely lose that much in a game. So we're definitely hydrating and we're doing endurance formula, you know, a lot of times of the Gatorade, and they definitely do salty food before the game. And some of them will do salt tabs. If they're prone to cramping, they'll do salt tabs.
That's so interesting. Thank you.
You could also say, you know, add anchovies to your diet.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just don't want to sit next to that guy on the bench, though.
Exactly.
Speaking of eating, Tim Spicer, wants to know what your favorite pre-race dinner is.
Ooh, my personal favorite pre-race dinner?
Yes.
Ooh, a pizza. Ah. Hands down. So I do love pasta, but I love pizza. That's my favorite food. If you don't count chocolate as a food. So yeah, pizza would definitely be my favorite because people are always surprised because everyone thinks of pizza as a junk food, but pizza is a very, very nutrient dense food. So you've got the crust that's going to give you the carbs. And if possible, you know, don't do like the thinnest crust. You know, the night before a long run or a race, you want to do more of a thicker crust pizza so that you're getting those carbohydrates in there. And I'm not loading it up. I'm a lacto-ovo-pesco vegetarian anyway, so I don't eat, you know, sausage and pepperoni and that kind of stuff. But I will definitely, obviously, have cheese. I mean, what's it without cheese? Mm-hmm. But, you know, so I'm not loading it up with lots of grease, but, you know, the marinara sauce, or, you know, pizza sauce, whatever, cheese, maybe a few veggies on there. I'll do some spinach or olives or whatever, mushrooms, and call it a day. I love that. A little salad with it. Perfect.
What would you drink with that dinner?
Water.
Water. Okay.
Yeah.
And I know it's different for everybody, but you're talking the night before. So if we're getting up for a 6 a.m. race. That's great. Yep. I'm sure you just made a lot of people like jump up with joy. And it's perfect that you're the mom of 4 boys, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I bet that's great. Lots of pizza.
Yep.
Okay, the next one is from Ashley Fairchild Tharp. And she says, what should I have waiting in my car to eat after a long run? I usually don't plan ahead, and I wind up making bad choices at a gas station.
Hey, okay. So, Ashley, I am a believer in chocolate milk. So I do love chocolate milk. If you bring a little cooler, you can have that chocolate milk. I love, love, love bananas. You've probably heard me say every runner should eat a banana a day before. So a banana would be great. So if you're just looking for a snack to tide you over until like you go home and shower and then have breakfast or your next meal, then I would say the chocolate milk and a banana, done. If you're like then gonna, you know, if you're, but, you know, if you're not going to have a snack and you're looking for a meal, then you're talking, you know, you're going to need obviously a more significant something to eat. So then you would just have to decide, you know, is this morning? Is it afternoon? I don't know. So then you would pack like more of a significant meal, but it sounds like you're just looking for a snack. So I would say the banana chocolate milk. You could do some kind of a bar. I mean, I'm a big bar lover and they go well sitting in a car for a while, as long as you don't do one of the coated bars. So, you know, you could do some kind of like a Clif Bar or I love Good Greens bars or Luna Bar or, you know, something like that. Those would be great. Too.
You know, Tara, we did a race, a half marathon, about 2 months ago here in New Hampshire, and waiting for us at the end of the race was pizza, chocolate milk, you name it. It was just amazing. It'd be nice someday to see that for all the races, but it was really refreshing to finish. I think we did a half marathon, and at the end there were pizza, and they said keep coming back for more, and I just went for the chocolate milk. That's all I wanted. That was great. Speaking of eating, the next question from Emma Godbold says she wants to know about eating during marathon weekend. So she is going to be doing Dopey for the very first time, and she wants to know what she should eat between races.
Yeah. So with when you're doing multiple races back to back, you're definitely wanting to focus on the recovery aspect, but then also focus on fuel up for the next day. So you want to recover, and the timing is going to be one of the most important things than just the what, but the timing. So you want to eat something within 30 minutes after each of those races, the 5K, 10K, half, and then of course the full too. Even though you're done after the full, you still need to like live life. And so you don't want to be, you know, injured or sick or whatever after doing the Dopey. So my rule of thumb is always within 30 minutes after finishing exercise. So this goes for training runs as well as the races. You want to have something to eat, primarily carbohydrates. And of course you want to try to rehydrate as quickly as possible. So they're going to, at the finish line, they're going to have bananas, have that banana. They're going to have water and Powerade, have something to drink. They give you the little snack box. You know, I mean, if you want to pick out a few things out of that snack box, that's fine. But then, you know, so within 30 minutes, at least you're getting some fluid in a banana and maybe something out of the snack box that you like. Then within 2 hours, go and have, you know, your nice full meal of carbohydrates, protein, antioxidants, all of that. So it might be, you know, an omelet with some toast and some fruit, or it might be a smoothie with some protein powder in it. It might be whatever. And then later in the day, you want to make sure that you're, again, getting just nice balance of carbs, protein, and some antioxidants. The antioxidants, that's going to be your fruits and vegetables. So don't forget about the fruits and vegetables, whether it's a salad, whether it's a smoothie, whether it's just a fruit cup, whether it's just, you know, seeking out those fruits and vegetables, because that's really what helps protect you from all that free radical damage. Because when we exercise intensely, our body creates those free radicals, and those free radicals attack your cells. So we want to eat those antioxidants, those fruits and vegetables, to help denature those free radicals to protect us from injury. And then you want to, of course, have the protein to help recover those muscles as well. But your body won't use the protein for recovery of muscles if you don't have enough carbohydrates to recover. So that's why, you know, you don't want to just focus on protein. You don't just want to focus on carbs. You want to always think at every meal that you're doing, where's my protein? Where's my carb? Where's my fruit or vegetable?
So this is science nerd question for you. What is a free radical?
So free radicals are a smoker. Okay, a smoker creates a ton of free radicals. It's your body produces them, and it has to do with like the charge on that particular substance that your body's producing, and that attacks your cells then. Gotcha. And so what the antioxidants do is they come and they actually like help to denature them before they can do the damage.
Got it. Okay. I get it. That makes sense. You explained it to a layperson. And I had another, this is just a question for me, kind of a follow-up. I went to an expo recently, and there's, I think it's a new type of, it's for running, but after running. It's called Fuel for Fire. Have you heard of it?
No.
So anyway, it's they have different fruit. It's actually really, it's fruit. I had one today, and it tasted like mushed up mango with protein. And it had 10 grams of protein, and I don't know how many carbohydrates it had in it, but it was like the best post thing I've had in a long time. So I don't know, maybe I ask you to take a look at it and tell me if you think it's any good. But
yeah, well, I just looked at it right now. I'm looking at the website right now, and it looks great. So yeah, it looks like those little squeeze pouches we give to our kids.
Yeah, for our applesauce.
They're adding, yep, or like the Mama Chia like squeeze pouches, those kinds of things. But they're adding some protein to it. So yeah, that looks great. Yeah. I love it. Sweet potato and banana cocoa and lots of yummy flavors.
Sweet potato one was amazing. So that's what Yeah, it was really good. It was like sweet potato and apple and cinnamon taste and people were going nuts over it. So that's what I'm asking Santa for Christmas.
So I think it was Ashley who was asking, what should I keep in my car? This would be a perfect thing.
Yeah.
This for fire, little pouch of, squeeze it in as you're driving away from your run. And that's giving you some protein. It's giving you some carbs. It's great.
Oh, good. Yeah. I like that. Okay, our next question is from Twitter. It's from DizRunnerK, and he or she wants to know, any Walt Disney World marathon hydration strategies so I don't feel like I'm going to pee myself by mile two? I could have asked this question.
Oh, that's funny. So that being like that you have to look for a porta potty by mile two?
Yeah, we have a Scribner kind of joke that we all have the bladder of a squirrel. Like I always have to go to the bathroom.
Baby squirrel.
But I drink a lot too, so that makes sense. But I know that you're waiting in the corrals. There's no place to go to the bathroom, and then you start. So I think the question is, what can you do so that you're okay until you get to that first water stop, and you don't have to just run, start and then run to the next porta potty right away. And right. I'm sure all of us could agree, we've seen those lines at the first porta potty, and I know it's because of you're waiting in the crowd for an hour
so obviously hitting the porta potty in the crowd area, but even then you still that's in the staging area, and then when you get in your crowd you're still in your crowd for a while. So my biggest advice is, because you have to get up so darn early for the race, what I like to do is pound a bunch of water right when I get up, so that I will have time to go to the bath. Like by the time that kind of runs through me, I'm still in the staging area and not necessarily in the corral area. And then just right before the race, have that last little top off of water. So don't be drinking like the entire morning until race start, but right away when you get up, pound like 12 or 16 ounces of water, and then sort of stop until right before the race, maybe do another 6-8 ounces, 10 minutes before you're about to start. And that way you're not over hydrated. You've gotten some, you've rehydrated from the dehydration overnight, but yet you're not totally, over hydrating and causing you to have to go to the bathroom.
You know, Tara, as someone who's coached baseball and basketball and soccer and who knows what else over the last 40 or 50 years, I've always told my players, when they had a big game coming up on a weekend, to begin to hydrate as early as Wednesday night, because I wanted them to hydrate their body cells more than their belly. Is that good advice?
Yeah, thank you for that, Mike. Yes, I totally forgot about that. The other thing you can do is spend days hydrating. Yes, the morning of is going to be important, but that doesn't mean that the days before you can't hydrate. And I always tell people that the week of marathon, expect to feel fat, expect to feel bloated, expect to feel like, and expect to gain a pound or two. Because when you've been tapering and then you're carbo loading and you're hydrating, as you should be in the week before the marathon, your glycogen stores, which are very water rich, are going to be maxed out, which is what we want. And so you're actually going to gain a pound or two during that week, prior to the race. So yeah, that's a very good point, Mike, that you should be hydrating. Don't just focus on the morning of, but be as hydrated as you can, and all you have to do then is replenish the overnight dehydration.
Right.
All right. So I'm going to report back. I'm going to get up and I'm going to pound some water and I'm just going to get in that porta potty once and hopefully... I won't have to go 17
depends
times.
Depends upon how much you pound.
All right.
Okay. The next question, and we may have already answered this one, from Justin Eckstein. He wants to know, if you have a marathon on Saturday and another marathon on Sunday, what should you eat to replenish in between? So this is back-to-back marathons.
Well, I think that probably is a question for a psychologist of why you're doing back-to-back marathons. That's like when we were at Avengers and people were leaving that morning after the race to go do Las Vegas, Rock and Roll Las Vegas, like later that day or whatever. I don't know. But then I did a marathon a week apart back on my honeymoon in 2005, and I thought I was crazy, but not a day apart.
Such a romantic. Yeah.
But since you asked the question, Justin, I think, Mike, you're right. We kind of did answer that already, but you just have to take it a step further to make sure that, like, hello, you've just, you know, done 26 miles and now you're doing it again tomorrow. So you're going to just have to really, really be very careful about eating quite a bit. I mean, you have to replenish what you just, you know, lost from the marathon. So have a nice big breakfast. I would do eggs, potatoes, toast, juice, like the whole nine yards, and then have another meal and then have another meal. I mean, basically you're replenishing and then trying to load up for the next day, and make sure that you're having breakfast the next day as well. And during each race, you're getting enough. Most people don't get enough carbs during the race. And so if you're going to be doing a back-to-back full marathon one day after the other, you definitely want to be focusing on not just what to eat between the races, but what you're doing during the races, because that can keep you from being behind the eight ball by the end of the run for both of them.
Right.
Wow. Okay. Another question is from Melissa Iannetta, and she wants to know, do you have any recent book recommendations? And you can tell us about your books. I know we've mentioned them before.
Well, yeah, my books, you know, aren't necessarily specific to running, but the Flat Belly Cookbook for Dummies is always a, you know, that's the one that came out a few, when was it? 2014. So it's not too old yet, but it's got 100 recipes in it and, you know, great stuff, good tips for just trying to attack that belly fat. You know, I'm a huge fan of Nancy Clark. Nancy Clark is a registered dietitian who focuses on sports nutrition and specifically on running. And so she is fabulous. And then Jeff Galloway partnered with Nancy Clark last year and came out with a book called Nutrition for Runners. And then so that's Jeff Galloway and Nancy Clark partnering together on the book. And then but Nancy specifically also has one. The name is totally escaping me right now, but I think it's called just Nutrition for Marathon. So just look up Nancy Clark, registered dietitian, and look for any runner nutrition books that she has out. And they're very well written, where it's not over your head, not too much science, but it's very simple. Like, this is what you do. This is, you know, how you do it. So I love her books for marathoners.
Terrific. I have one of Nancy Clark's book on the Kindle too. So yeah, it's nice.
Yeah.
And that's where my Flat Belly Cookbook for Dummies is on the Kindle too.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah. We don't have any other listener questions, but I just wanted to have you comment on one thing and then share one thing. I know you and I emailed this about this a little bit, but I just want to just put it out there that I'm completely amazed that I stopped running marathons and I've been able to lose about 20 pounds with no problem. And
That is amazing.
Well, I wanted to ask you, I mean, I wouldn't say it's no problem. I'm certainly working at it and journaling and things like that, but I just could not lose it while I was training for Boston and things like that. And I wanted to just ask you to share with our listeners if you find that this is a common thing, because I've just, you know, anecdotally talked to other runners who have said that they've found similar thing happen to them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, 2 years ago when I was doing my talk at all the Disney races, my theme was, why am I gaining weight training for a marathon?
Yes, I remember that.
So, you know, what happens is a lot of people tend to overcompensate for what they're burning in their running. They're like, I'm running 20 miles. And, you know, so certainly I deserve to eat, you know, anything that I want, or I'm running 50 miles a week. If you're training for a full marathon, you know, you're putting that many miles in or whatever. So the other thing that happens is that you're just hungry. I mean, let's just call it as it is. I'm starving when I'm running 50 miles a week. So, you know, you tend to be hungrier. It's harder. You tend to crave more. You tend to crave carbs. You tend to crave sugar, because your body is burning through energy so quickly, and your body's preferred source of energy is carbs. And carbs are your body's preferred source of energy, so they also don't necessarily fill you up as much. So it's like this vicious cycle of, okay, I'm burning a lot of calories, which then is causing me to need more energy. So I'm telling myself I need more carbs, and then you eat more carbs, but then you burn right through them. Mm-hmm. So that's why you have to make sure that you're getting enough protein in there. Now, that doesn't mean cut out carbs, but make sure that you're getting enough protein to give you sustained energy and to give you sustained satiety. So it's keeping you full a little bit longer. So a lot of people find that when they stop running as much, they're not as hungry. Their appetite goes down. They're able to push the plate away as much. They're not reaching for the ice cream at night or the cookies at night or 3 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever. And so they're just naturally, you know, tending to eat a little bit less to match the fact that they're not burning as much. And so that's when, you know, maybe some of the pounds come off. And then, you know, there may just be something happening where the body is in sort of this pseudo, you know, metabolism starvation mode, because you are burning so many calories that your body's like trying to hang on to whatever, you know, whatever it is getting. I mean, I see this a lot with people who are trying to lose weight and restrict their calories too much. And it can happen the opposite way, that if you're burning a heck of a lot of calories, your body, when it does get calories, just tries to hang on. And so it makes it more difficult to, you know, to mobilize that fat.
All right. So my last question for you is that, and it may be a little bit early, but I'm wondering if you know your schedule for marathon weekend yet at the expo, so we can alert our listeners to go see you.
I do not, but I will post it on the Facebook like I did last time. I'll post it on the Facebook page. I do know that they want me every day, like the 4 days. So wow. I will be there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And typically they put me in the afternoons, but I don't know. Well, usually I'm in the afternoon during the week, and then usually in the morning, like the last day. So we'll see. But I will definitely post it on the Facebook page when I find out.
And is it the same presentation every day with questions at the end?
I don't know that either. Last time we did recovery panel, we did that at Wine and Dine, where I was paired with a couple other people, and we talked all about recovery and what to do from different aspects, nutrition plus, you know, rest plus massage plus whatever. So yeah, there's lots of different, it could be, I don't know, they haven't told me yet.
Cool, great.
I have one last question. Because Tara, that those who are going to the Walt Disney World Marathon for the first weekend for the first time, and who may be doing back-to-back races, I wanted to give you a chance to comment on what you have seen or heard from those who have done it first time, what their biggest mistake has been in the past, or what they have overlooked that they weren't aware of as they prepare for this first weekend. Can you think of anything that you would like to say?
Sure. I, you know, the biggest thing is that you have to get up so darn early. And so just make sure that you chill out, you know, get to bed early, make dinner reservations for 4, like seriously, 4 p.m. You know, get your meal, you know, that last meal early, chill out in the room early, you know, get off your feet. Don't go to the parks all day if you're doing dopey, you know, in between each of the races. Like, you just have to, if you're there for dopey, you're there for dopey. You're not there to see the parks. You know, you have to like make a decision about where you're spending your energy and how much you're going to be on your feet. And because I don't want people to get injured and get really burnt out and get sick after doing the races, because then that leaves a bad taste in your mouth too. So you have to remember that this is a huge, huge undertaking to do that many races in so many days. And even if you're not doing dopey and you're only doing goofy or you're only doing the marathon or whatever, you know, the same advice still applies, that you're, you know, that you should rest, you know, rest your body, be good to your body, and take, you know, I highly recommend, if you haven't already, to take a couple days off. You know, don't rush back to work. Try not to fly out, you know, Sunday night. I mean, take the day or a day or two after, and that's the day to sort of walk around and get some movement and, you know, go to the parks and that kind of stuff, so that you're not, you know, you're not doing it before where you need to rest, but now you're able to, you know, and you can enjoy things a little bit more then, and be kind to your body too in those couple days after, so you're not getting back to the grind right away.
I think that's great advice. I think that everyone forgets that. Well, they think, oh, we're going to Disney World, I'm going to go here, going to go there. Well, wait a minute, you have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And if you're doing dopey, you have to get up 3 o'clock in the morning 4 days in a row. So you have to worry about your nighttime activities and such.
So exactly. Well, and if you've done Disneyland before, but not Disney World, that could be a shocker. I mean, Disneyland, everything is like right there. Disney World, it takes forever to get around. And it takes a long time to get to the expo and park at the expo and, you know, drive at the highest peak times, you know, the road is backed up. Like, just expect everything to be magnified in terms of traffic and everything and Disney World versus Disneyland.
Very, very good advice.
Great advice. I want to add before we let you go, Tara, that we had a holiday wish list for Run Disney. One of our shows was what we wish, and one of our wishes was that they would let you design the post-race snack box. We'll see if we get that.
I like that. Yeah, it's been thrown around. But yeah, I right now currently don't have anything to do with it. So we'll see if that changes. I'm open to it.
It's good to get that out there that you don't.
She is Tara Guidus Collingwood. I want to make sure that I get your new name as we close. And we thank her once again for sharing she's very busy, and she was able to come and as always give us great advice. And we look forward to seeing you at the expo and saying hi and hoping that you get back on your feet, and looking forward to hearing about your adventures in South Africa.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes, very exciting.
Happy holidays to Tara.
All right, same to you guys.
So for Tara Guidus Collingwood, for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying, we'll see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. If you would like to support the Mickey Miles Podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/mickeymilespodcast. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. And don't forget, if you have any questions, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.